Probably not. All right. We are seemingly forever on repentance. Which is a good thing to be forever on. We studied metamelomai, which is the feeling of regret or concern or ruing. And it's the repentance that Judas repented, where it says he repented of his stuff, but he was just sorry, he didn't repent. But true repentance is metanoio. And it literally means to have another mind. Now, most of Christianity, they understand that to mean, well, you've got to, fix your mind. And that's what you automatically believe. But it's an exchange of minds. You exchange, by your death, your mind for the mind of Christ, which is total emptiness. And there's no, it's not, I might as well talk about it now. The word, in Latin, the Latin version of the word for repentance in Latin is poenitentiam agere, and it means to exercise penitence. Because of that language, in the Catholic Church, they present, you do penance. You the apostles and Christ, by the definition of that word, they're telling people to do penance, to have grief over sin rather than abandonment of self. And it's not just Catholics. I mean, Protestants do the same thing. But that's not the meaning. And it's just as bad in English, because we have penance and penitentiary and all of the words that have as their base meaning this same thing. You get sent to the penitentiary, so you do penance so you don't be a criminal. It never works. It doesn't work in the prisons, and it doesn't work in, for the meaning of repentance.
That's interesting. You do penance so that you will repent.
No, it's just screwy words that don't even mean anything. But let's look at this. Let's start in Matthew 3. Oh, there. Again, John the Baptist, according to Christ, is the greatest of men ever born of woman. And this is, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is here. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. At the same time, John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat or food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet, or necessary for repentance. bring forth fruits necessary for repentance. We can't study that enough. That preaching of bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance is how the world was turned upside down. That preaching of bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance is why each one of the apostles was killed alone. But we've made it different, haven't we?
What did you mean by that? Why each one of the apostles was killed alone?
They died alone.
What does that have to do with bring forth fruit?
Because all they would have had to have said is what the rabbi said. We'll pray for your nation. They said there is no such thing as nations. There's no Jews or Greeks or bonds or free or Americans or male or female, because there's a new creation that comes from repentance. Now we bring forth fruit necessary for repentance in our world. Remember, the Great Commission, go ye into all the world, is not a command. It's as you go into your world, make disciples. But the only way you can make disciples is by you living and speaking of the vanity and futility of the human race. But we don't want to do that. We want to psychobabble. We want to give our opinion. We want them to accept Jesus as their personal Savior so they'll be champions. We do everything but bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
Is that what meat means?
Hmm?
M-E-E-T, is that a better word for it? Necessary?
Yeah.
And fruits are idolatries, false gods.
No, you bring forth the fruit. The fruit necessary for repentance is the futility of the human race. That's the fruit that's necessary for repentance. Does everybody understand that?
I saw that part about the apostles who wouldn't, they would rather die than
right. Just think of what happened with Stephen. He spared no words when he addressed the Sanhedrin. He gave a history of the Jewish people and their constant rebellion. And then he said, "You killed the Holy One." The fruit that he brought forth by his death and by his preaching was the greatest apostle ever was, Paul. He had more influence than anyone else. But because of it was because of Stephen's faithfulness. Now what do we bring forth fruit necessary for repentance? In your world?
Is this supposed to examine yourselves daily? A kind of an introspection kind of thing? Introspective?
No. It's you've introspected and seen your death and...
Okay, that's the wrong word. Let me go back to the first one. Let me go back to examine yourselves. Is that what this is?
No. Examine yourself. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Verse bring forth fruit and necessary repentance. Seems my notion of that is that we consider our failings, shortcomings, examine yourself. Don't do that anymore.
Well, that's the only time we are exhorted to examine ourselves is this scripture we're about to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Wait a minute. 13?
2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, and the purpose of examining yourself is to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you do not know that Jesus Christ is your life, is your only self, then repentance is impossible. Therefore, you cannot bring forth fruit necessary for repentance in others. And the only way you prove your own self that Jesus Christ is in you is by abandoning and waiting only on God in whatever issues you deal with on a daily basis. Instead of leaning on your own armor of understanding to do the common way that you've done your whole life, you don't do that. You confess the need and wait. Remember, if faith isn't automatic, it's not faith. And faith becomes automatic just as bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance becomes automatic once you've seen and know your death and his life in you. That's why examine yourselves. Prove that you're in the faith. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Reprobate is a legal term meaning incapable of repentance. As long as you have options, as long as you continue to live your life just like you did before, you still do the same stuff, then you haven't proven to yourself that Jesus Christ is in you. Therefore, you can't bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. It can just be a philosophy. This is a simplicity of simplicities. But it costs you everything.
This is like that, kind of like the pregnant moment of where you get an impulse to take care of your problem by your own strength. And then you either do that or you don't. You wait. You deny yourself. And that's where denying self is a very real phenomenon.
Amen. And so now again, I'm sorry to talk about me, but this is what I did. I was willing to die under that bridge rather than tell anybody I had a need or do anything I had to prove my own self, and then I had to spend 12 years trying to prove it was wrong. But this is a crisis point in your life. It's a turning point of utmost. It's not just an experience. It's the experience tested. The trial of your faith is what's more precious than gold. Faith is a dime a dozen.
That's where proving yourself, prove your own self. Well, you don't prove it
without
something taking place.
Right. And that's the same thing that let's go to Romans 12.
We studied this last night where commit your way on the Lord and he will direct your path. And that commitment is the release of your own way to his way.
Amen. Let's start. We're gonna start in Romans 11. Verse 30. Well, let's go to 29 because that's talking about repentance. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, what that means is God doesn't take them back. That's why you pollute the gift by you. Now you can't. Here's the mystery, and this is the critical issue. If there is any area of your life where you lean on your own arm of understanding, that's not the issue in repentance. The repentance is that you've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. You understand? There isn't a little bit of going. It's all or nothing. It's not ever progression. It's digital. It's on or off. That's why it doesn't matter. The time is meaningless because in truth, all men repent at the same instant. And true repentance, just because you repent at the seeing of your death and you died on the cross. It doesn't matter if it's now 2,000 and some years since, or about 2,000, whatever it is, since you died on the cross with Jesus. Now, you have within you the capacity to resurrect that evil one from his deadly head wound. But you don't resurrect him just on, you don't resurrect just a thought, you resurrect the whole being. And so it's always all or nothing. Now, Romans 12. I mean, not 11. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their, the Jews, unbelief, even so have these also now not being believed, that they may through your mercy, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, I beg on your knees, brethren, on my knees, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, that's a contradiction in terms. A living sacrifice, a sacrifice always dies. But you're presenting yourself the living sacrifice. The only thing you're presenting then is Christ in you. You're presenting the living sacrifice, holy. And it's holy because he's holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And remember, reasonable service. Reasonable is the highest that reason can take you. And service is the word latri, It means the service of the holy. It means the service of the high priest on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies. By presenting yourself without exception, a living sacrifice, it says it's the highest the human race can go. Now, and be not conformed in any way to this world. And this, remember, the world. This world is the zeitgeist of the whatever the common value systems are of any time, of any culture. Be not conformed to that, but be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's, besides the other one we just read in 2 Corinthians, this is how you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. But you can't live in two worlds. If you're in Him in eternity, then that's the basis of everything. That's the predicate of everything in your life, is that mercy seat. That's why you bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Your speech, including your thoughts, are seasoned with salt, the component of eternity. If you speak, you're speaking as the oracle of God, under the wings of the cherubim. That's the name of that place, the oracle. There's no more vain babbling.
What I'm hearing is that you do something by not doing something. You prove by waiting. You prove by stopping, and you see God do what He does, and that proves it. But you don't do it, He does it. You're justified by not doing.
Right. The proving means to test. You're testing.
See if He's real.
Right. But He's not just as you can say He's real all your life, but it's got to be, He is the exchanged self. Amen. That's what reconcile means, to exchange. But then you can't, it's got to affect everything. And so that's why the issues, that, you know, the whether it's, I don't care whether it's drug abuse or anything, you don't resist evil. You proclaim Jesus. You affirm Him, and you affirm Him by waiting. But do you remember? Maybe I'm the only one that did this. But I always had to have a deal. Because the deal was the excitement. And if the deal failed, then I was convinced that the next deal was going to make up for it, and more so. And so it was always, no matter, even when I was in the military, the deals were either a poker game or you know, getting more. But it was always the next deal, the next deal, the next deal. A lot of them for me worked. But then, so what? There's nothing. There's no, you know, there's no there there.
Can't satisfy the beast on deals.
Yeah. But don't you see, that's why God allowed alcoholism and all the addictions? And so that we can see how incredibly addicted we are to ourselves. We are all drunk on the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking, the wine of increase.
Drink this and you'll get more.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Time is fulfilled. All right, let's go. Let's see it again. We've seen it, but Mark 1. Verse 11. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or in his baptism. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And as he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. That's repentance, is exchange your mind.
That's so tautological in a sense, that this exchanging of mind, if you understand and believe that Christ emptied himself as opposed to had the greatest mind ever, then you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, and it's a direct connection to God.
Well, we all know people who believe that once they say this, once I've accepted Jesus, then my thoughts are sanctified.
Yeah.
And so they have all these harebrained ideas. They hear God telling them to, you know, every 5 minutes or something. And it's just Jeremiah says it. It says, it's your own imagination. You're saying it's God. And it's not just, you know, it's commonplace. All right, let's go to Acts 2. This is Peter's speech on the day of Pentecost. Well, we're not going to read the whole thing, but well, let's just go. I'll just go to the left. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. A lot of times, repentance is connected to baptism. And why? Because repentance is death, baptism is burial. So your baptism should have cemented forever the fruitlessness of your efforts and the fruitlessness of the human race, because the world is crucified unto you and you are unto the world. There's no more wanting what they want and fearing what they fear. I mean, it's you're a new thing. There's a new creation that has no reference to your past, except in the way that God controlled it, but it's not a reference that you can understand. Repent and be baptized. Let's go to Acts 3. Again, Peter is we'll just read this one in quick. Verse 10, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And this is because the everybody got ticked off because he healed the lame guy. You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith, and his name through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, here, it's this great word. Let me make sure I get it right. Well, I'm missing a page. Anyway, it's estrepio, or estrepho, I think. But anyway, it's often combined with the repent, and it's sometimes translated return, sometimes translated abandonment, sometimes translated, but it's the companion, it's the what if or what happens at repentance. It's conversion. But conversion doesn't mean Oli is a new Oli. It means Oli is dead and there's a new life. We'll get to that. That's a good place to stop, because I lost a page somewhere. All right. Anybody have any thoughts, responses?
I'm just thinking about the conversion. The conversion goes back to the cross. You're converted back to that reality.
But that's what's taught.
Yeah, start planning your Christian life.
Unfortunately. But that's what we think. I mean, we really believe that. We believe that we still live, and therefore we give ourselves importance. Exchanged mind. Amen? Take a big breath.